pas une autre question qu'on y a, et puis là-bas, on tient à la fin pour la question.
And try to have the questions directly connected to the material we covered.
Essayez de poser des questions qui connectent directement avec le matériel que nous couvrions.
So, any questions?
Une question?
Non, Chaplain Regina.
Oh, there's one in the chat, John.
Okay.
Let me read it real quick.
I prefer ones from the chat, honestly, because they're shorter.
So one in the chat says that it says that the doctrine that are not important has to do with the age of Earth. Can one discern the age of Earth? Also, in the book of Genesis, it says that the book of Genesis was there from the beginning. God created the earth and the sky. Can we evaluate that period of time?
This question has nothing to do with church history at all. And like I said, it's not an important doctrine.
Et comme on dit, il fait partie de doctrine qui pas important.
So, maybe I shouldn't even answer the question.
Peut-être même pas juste besoin de répondre à la question.
Because the Bible doesn't tell us how old the earth is.
Parce que la Bible ne dit pas quel âge la terre est.
I prefer to let science answer that question.
Moi, je préfère écouter la science et répondre à la question ça.
And I'm a scientist.
Moi, je suis un scientiste.
There are different thoughts about how to interpret the days in Genesis. Some people take those days metaphorically. Others literally. I'm a scientist, so you can guess how I take them. But honestly, I don't really care. Because it's not an important doctrine. So like I said, you can guess what I think, but I'll leave it at that. Not important. Okay, is there another question?
Est-ce que vous avez une question?
Bonjour.
Bonjour, César.
Monsieur André.
Oh, désolé.
D'accord, Eugène, je comprends. Oui. Bon, question que je vais poser, John, c'est le plus souvent, moi, elle est là pour répondre à une question. Yo. C'est aussi au parler de doctrine. Moi, elle est juste, bon, c'est vrai qu'elle explique que les doctrines qui sont pas importantes. Est-ce que doctrine qui parle à considérer comme des fausses doctrines?
Ok, John. You talk about doctrines that are not important. Can one consider those doctrines as false doctrines? Those doctrines that you term that are not important?
Again, if it's not important, I don't really care whether it's a false doctrine or not.
Oui, encore, si doctrine n'est pas importante, on pas vraiment souci s'il est faux ou pas.
Let me use the age of the earth as an example.
Qu'est-ce qu'on utilise l'âge terre comme exemple?
One believer says, oh, those days are literal.
En croyant dit que, oh, je sais, il est littéral.
And the earth is only a few thousand years old.
Que la terre gagne quelques des milliers d'années.
Another disciple says, oh, no. Look at the science.
On le croyant dit, oh, non, regardez science. Hein?
Obviously, the universe is very old.
Et évidemment, l'univers est très, très âgé.
And those days should be considered metaphorical.
Et que juste ça, on peut considérer métaphorique.
So they can't both be right, obviously. Obviously, one of them is wrong. So which is the correct answer? Well, whoever has the incorrect answer, I guess you could say they have a false doctrine. But I wouldn't even use that vocabulary. Because when we say false doctrine, that sounds like a big important thing, doesn't it? So if you want to call that a false doctrine, go ahead. But I definitely would not. We can disagree over these things, and it's simply not important, so why give it such a label? Now, many who are in the Young Earth group, I guess, would accuse those who believe the earth is old of having false doctrine. But I think that's divisive. We should never divide over unimportant doctrines. Yeah, what about the Nephilim? I say, who cares? So I would prefer to use a different vocabulary for unimportant teachings. But you can decide. Okay, now let's get back to our class and we'll take more questions later.
Okay, now we'll turn the class and we'll have more questions later.
So we're talking about John Calvin. I'm going to say quite a few negative things about Calvinism. But there are many things about John Calvin I very, very much appreciate. He was a brave reformer. And he helped to restore many important biblical practices. But his theology, which we call Calvinism, I rather strongly disagree with. But the first thing to know about John Calvin was he was an amazing Bible teacher. He taught directly from the Hebrew and Greek. He didn't have a French Bible. He taught directly from Hebrew and Greek. When he preached from the book of Ezekiel, he preached 174 consecutive sermons from that book. When he preached from Job, 159
sermons.
And there's only 43 chapters. Most extreme.
C'est très extrême.
He preached a series from the book of Isaiah. 342 consecutive sermons from the book of Isaiah.
342 sermons
Isaiah. He preached directly from the Hebrew. Without even using notes. There's a famous story about Calvin. He was in the middle of preaching from Isaiah when he was forced out of Geneva in the year
1538. They forced him out.
Yes.
Geneva.
Yeah, in 1538.
1538.
He returned He had an exile of 3 years. When he returned in the year 1541. He started with the same verse he ended with 3 years earlier, and he completed the book of Isaiah. Calvin was a brilliant Bible interpreter.
Calvin était un interpréteur biblique très brillant.
He wrote commentaries on almost every book in the Bible. And he single-handedly established the modern science of hermeneutics and exegesis.
The modern science of?
Exegesis and hermeneutics.
Okay. Hermeneutics. Établi, science moderne de, hermeneutics and
exegesis.
And exegesis.
Okay, close enough. His most important writing was called the Instituts de Religion Chrétienne.
écrit important, c'était Institut de la Religion Chrétienne.
It began as a rather short document, but eventually became quite long. And this became the most important document in the Reformation. And in this, he described in detail his theology. As well as his practice. Unfortunately, John Calvin was thoroughly Augustinian.
Malheureusement, John Calvin était Augustinien idéologie.
It's difficult to describe the important distinction between Calvin and Zwingli.
C'est difficile pour décrire la différence entre Calvin avec Zwingli.
Concerning baptism, he said this.
Concernant baptême, il dit.
It is an outward sign by which the Lord represents and testifies his goodwill towards us.
C'est un signe apparent que bon Dieu témoigne. I'm sorry, testify, the Lord testify.
Let me see if I have a quote here. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, le baptême est un signe extérieur par lequel le Seigneur représente et témoignage, et témoigne.
And of course, this is the primary teaching of most Protestant churches today. Thanks to Calvin and Zwingli, we have most of the false doctrines of Protestant Christianity. But on the other hand, his doctrine of the Lord's Supper I find to be very wise.
tourner sur le charisme, se donner sur le charisme, il trouvait ça très sage.
He was aware of the very divisive debate between Zwingli and Luther on the Lord's Supper.
Il connaît tout le débat qui a gagné à Zwingli et Luther de le charisme.
Sur la scène du Seigneur, read that quote.
Sur la scène du Seigneur, de quelle manière, en ce qui concerne son effet sur nous, le corps du Christ est-il dans le sacrement?
Authentiquement
et efficacement.
In other words, he refused to answer the question.
Dans l'autre mot, il était refusé de répondre à une question.
He said, the Lord's Supper is a mystery. And it's really not my job to answer such a question. Basically said, I just believe what the Bible says. So I say good job to Calvin on that one. But it's his doctrine of predestination which is extremely problematic. He published the Geneva Creed. Geneva Creed, which became the founding document of almost every Protestant church. He believed in predestination.
He preached predestination?
Yes.
Il enseignait predestination.
Why don't you read that quote?
Nous appelons predestination le décret éternel de Dieu, par lequel il a terminé lui-même ce qu'il voulait qu'il advienne de chaque homme, car nous ne sommes pas créés dans une condition égale. Au contraire, la vie éternelle est prédestinée pour les uns, à les élus, à la damnation éternelle pour les autres, les réprouvés. C'est pourquoi tout homme ayant été créé par l'une ou l'autre de ses fins, nous disons prédestiné à la vie ou à la mort.
This is a terrible doctrine.
C'est une doctrine terrible.
Honestly, this makes me angry.
Honnêtement, ça fait me fâcher.
Because I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world.
Parce que moi, je crois que Jésus mourit pour pécher tout le monde là.
I believe that God wants all people to be saved.
Moi, je crois que bon Dieu veut pour tout le monde sauver.
But Calvin said differently.
Mais Calvin dit différemment.
He said human beings can be divided into two groups.
Il dit que être humain est capable de diviser en deux groupes.
The elect, les élus.
Les élus.
And the reprobate.
Et les réprouvés.
Is the idea of election in the Bible?
Est-ce que l'idée d'élection dans la Bible?
Actually, it is.
Actuellement, oui, il est dans la Bible.
Is the idea of reprobate in the Bible?
Est-ce que l'idée est reprouvée dans la Bible?
Definitely not.
Non, définitivement non.
I believe all human beings are predestined to be saved.
Moi, je crois que tout être humain est prédestiné pour être sauvé.
And yet, we get to choose whether we accept that salvation or not.
Et nous gagnons et volonté pour nous accepter en saluant ou pas.
Here's another quote from John Calvin. He said, God is said to have ordained from eternity those who he will to embrace in love, and those upon whom he desires to vent his wrath. He said this, for all are not created equally. He said eternal life is foreordained for some.
Il dit que vie éternelle ordonnée pour some.
Yes.
Oh yeah, ordonnée pour un peu.
But eternal damnation for others.
Et l'autre condamnation éternelle pour l'autre.
He taught the theological system that we call Calvinism. There are five principal points of Calvinism. First is total depravity. Because of the fall, we are completely depraved and utterly controlled by sin.
À cause de péché Adam, nous venons déclaver et contrôler par péché.
He views human beings as having no free will before they're saved. For that reason, he taught unconditional election. In other words, if you're born as one of the elect, then you'll be saved no matter what. Because God chooses you, He elects you, and you have no role in that whatsoever. The third part of this Calvinist doctrine is known as limited atonement. This is the idea that Jesus died, but only for the elect. I very, very strongly reject this false doctrine, this false theology. This is not true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse
15,
it says, and Jesus died for all. It doesn't say that Jesus died for the elect. It says that Jesus died for all. This is a terrible doctrine. It might even be heresy. The fourth plank, if you will, of the Calvinist doctrine is irresistible grace. Grâce irresistible. It's right there. Yeah. This means that if God chooses to have grace on you, then he gives you his grace. And nothing you could do could prevent you from being saved. And the final of the five parts of this doctrine is preservation, that one.
Yes, cinquième partie, le principe ça, c'est préservation finale des saints.
In English, we say, once saved, always saved.
En anglais, on dit que, dès que sauvé, moi qui sauvé, toujours sauvé.
And almost all, evangelicals believe in once saved, always saved.
Et presque en pile évangélique, bien, l'église protestante croit ça, que vous sauvez, vous sauvez net.
They believe that if you're become a Christian, you can't lose your salvation. I don't know what they do with the book of Hebrews, because the entire point of Hebrews is that we do not lose our salvation.
We do lose our salvation, or we do not.
The whole point of Hebrews is we need to avoid falling away.
Okay.
So under the Calvinist theology, there are two groups. The elect and the reprobate. So in Calvinism, the false doctrine about baptism is maintained in two ways. First, they teach that baptism is works salvation. And they teach faith alone. Therefore, they conclude that baptism is not necessary for salvation. And besides, Calvin agreed with Zwingli. That baptism is an outward sign of something that God had already done, that it's just simply a symbol. So most of the false teachings of the evangelical movement can be traced back to Zwingli and to Calvin. Most people in the evangelical movement are Calvinists. Not all. We'll see some exceptions. But Presbyterians are Calvinists. The Reformed Dutch Church is Calvinist. A large majority are Baptists. The Anglican, the Church of England. Most Pentecostals. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an exercise. I want each one of you to take about 10 minutes. I'm going to stop talking for about 10 minutes. And I want you to make a list. Quel escrituras? Yeah, that there.
This question.
Yeah.
Quelles écritures peuvent être utilisées pour soutenir la prédestination calviniste et réfuter le libre arbitre? The second question is, quelles écritures peuvent être utilisées pour discréditer ou défaire la prédestination calviniste et prouver le libre arbitre?
Remember this.
Rappelez que
our Calvinist friends have scriptures that they quote.
Que, amis Calvinistes, nous, il y a des écritures que vous, faites des références avec eux.
And there are a small number of scriptures when you read them. They appear to support the Calvinist position. So, during this 10-minute break, write down maybe 3 or 4 scriptures that seem to support the idea of Calvinism. Maybe the idea of once saved, always saved. Or maybe the idea of predestination. But then make a second list.
Et puis, ils font une deuxième liste.
Of scriptures that clearly teach that we do have free will.
De écritures qui clairement enseignent que nous gagnons à volonté.
And that we clearly could lose our salvation.
Et que nous clairement capables de perdre salut nous.
So let's take 10 minutes to do that exercise.
À nous prendre 10 minutes pour nous faire exercer ça.